This is a very strange developing story that has just come out. Syracuse men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim struck and killed a man walking outside his vehicle on an interstate around midnight. This is per the Syracuse Post Standard. Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought you guys said it was an assistant coach. Boeheim?
No. Boeheim. Yeah. Yeah.
On the interstate?
On the interstate.
A guy was walking along the interstate? Okay. Well, it wasn't Boeheim's fault then.
The man in his 30s had been in a car with four others near a road when their vehicle crashed for unknown reasons, said a source familiar with the investigation. The man at some point got out of the vehicle. That's when Boeheim drove by and struck the pedestrian.
Okay.
Syracuse, by the way, had a game last night at the Carrier Dome. They beat Louisville, and Jim Boeheim struck and killed a man walking outside his vehicle on the interstate afterwards. That is all the details that we have. That is it.
What time of night was it?
Around midnight.
Okay.
Which makes sense from a timing standpoint.
When you go, when you have an accident on the side of the road and you jump out of the car and maybe the guy was freaking out or stressed out, my gut tells me I'm most likely, like, Boeheim obviously hadn't been, like, drinking a bunch, right? Or hadn't been drinking at all if he's going home immediately. It's not like back in the day when guys would sit around and have a whiskey with the writers after the game. He's an old man. He's trying to get home and go to bed. The only thing I'd worry about is that if he was texting and not paying attention.
It's still a few hours after the game because they played Louisville. That was a, 7 o'clock tip-off,
yes.
Our time. So, I mean, it is interesting that it took him a couple hours to get back. I don't know. Also interesting to note that he is up there in age. I don't know how that factors in when you're driving late at night and maybe you don't have the best vision.
Well, the big thing also is time of year. I know our weather is erratic right now. It's cold in Syracuse.
Yes.
I don't know if there's snow right now or ice on the
road.
Probably
is.
Yeah.
It's fair
midnight,
to expect it.
It's dark. You don't know what the situation is.
That's a crazy story, though. No,
yeah.
And then he, in Boeheim, who's just obviously a legend up in that area, has got a move on through the season now, and they're like, or through today after he just killed the guy. Wow.
What a weird day for college basketball.
Yeah.
I mean,
very strange.
Between that and Zion Williamson's shoe exploding and him potentially suffering a serious knee injury, and both those teams are playing each other on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday in Syracuse. So if you're just joining us, Syracuse men's basketball coach Jim Boeheim struck and killed a man walking outside his vehicle on the interstate last night around midnight. Those are essentially all the details that we have. And if we have more, we will let you know this morning. Bizarre, tragic story. Not an easy transition here. John Lopez has a theory, and the theory is this one, my friends. If Gronk retires, it is a bad thing for the Texans. Here's why. If Gronk retires, the Patriots will very acutely realize, hey, we need far more weapons around Tom Brady as he enters age 42, 43. They will go aggressively after Odell Beckham and players of that ilk. And this is why Gronk retiring would be one of the worst things that can happen to the Houston Texans.
Okay, now, reportedly, they were already interested in Odell Beckham last year and were willing to do something about it, except that Pat Shurmur stepped in and said, no, we're going to keep Odell Beckham Jr. here. That's according to Jay Glazer and other people. So I don't know if in any given year, any situation makes the Patriots all of a sudden realize, oh, hey, we got to compete. Like, I feel like that's kind of just like standard par for the course. And it wasn't like a loss of a Rob Gronkowski type of player is what led to them signing Randy Moss back in the day or Josh Gordon this year. They're going to try to get a marquee guy sooner or later. Like, they were trying to replace Gronkowski last year. Do you think if, well, Gronkowski claimed he would have retired. They tried to trade Gronkowski. Gronkowski seemingly just made that about impossible by saying, look, I'm going to retire if you trade me, so good luck trying to trade me. I'm afraid of the Patriots regardless. And I think the Patriots are going to do everything they can to be the best possible offense and have weapons around Tom Brady regardless of whether Gronkowski's there or not. At this point, I don't think they even calculate Rob Gronkowski into their offseason plans. I think they figure he's either going to be injured at some point or he's going to retire soon, that we need to operate as if we don't have Gronkowski.
That's probably a smart approach.
Including with the draft, too. I think
they'll draft the tight end.
If they were, yeah, but in the first round, it wouldn't matter whether it was last year or this year. I think that they're trying to figure out how to replace Gronkowski already.
They have 6 picks the first 2 days, so at the very least, I would be shocked if they don't draft a tight end. I mean, their other tight end is Dwayne Allen, who I've never thought has been a good player. You do wonder, though, Odell Beckham Jr. to the New England Patriots, what that would actually cost. Because the Giants, obviously, they would have to eat some of that money, correct?
They got to eat like 30-some million dollars.
The Giants would be in a full rebuild because they would add a bunch of money to their cap.
And I don't know that, You know, you trade a guy like him, you only have a few playmakers in this league. Each team has a couple, but I mean, when you've got Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr., it just wouldn't be smart to get rid of Odell Beckham Jr., no matter how he might feel. Like, this is a guy that you want to build your team around, and he had the ankle injury last season, and that really just ruined his year and obviously made him miss the majority of it. But you can't give up this guy if you're New York. I mean, well, what are you thinking?
Unless they feel like, hey, he's not the right guy to rebuild with.
Here's the thing, though, and I don't like how Brown and Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. get lumped in the same conversation. And Rich got pretty heated about this earlier this week, but I feel the same way as him. Odell Beckham Jr. cares about winning. He's extremely passionate on the field and sometimes to his own detriment throws temper tantrums, where I don't know what Antonio Brown wants. I really don't.
Right.
And I don't think anyone knows what Antonio Brown wants. I mean, Antonio Brown's like, oh, I want guaranteed money. I want to, what do I have left to play for? Well, bro, you have never won a title. Do you really like think that your career has been that big of an accomplishment other than being one of the best receivers in the league? So I think if you're the Giants, Odell Beckham Jr. might not be happy right now, but he is damn good. And if you actually do get the right pieces in place, he is going to buy right the bleep back in.
My issue with Lopez's theory about the worst thing that can happen is Gronk retires, Patriots realize their need, they go after Odell. Look at what the Pats were this year. They've won the AFC the last 3 years. I suppose they can get better, but it's like their coaching is at such an elite level that nothing they can do can really scare me at this point.
Interesting. I mean, if he were to be on that team, it would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying. I mean, yes.
And it would be more. And I am with John in that it would be more terrifying than it is with a current Rob Gronkowski.
The problem is
Gronk was big against the Texans the first week of the season. He was big in the Super Bowl as well. He had that big catch that set up the only touchdown of the game. Like, Gronk still has value in this league, but I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. fully healthy and completely engaged on a team that actually cares about winning. Like, I would wonder how good Beckham could be in a situation that's actually a good one.
Well, he's already, I mean, you know how good he can be. It'd be above and beyond anything.
He hasn't really been in a great situation in New York.
And the biggest thing that scares teams about Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr. is that it's when they start criticizing teammates. Like that more than anything, you can deal with almost any level of distraction. And it's always a matter of like talent versus distraction. Okay. The more talent you have, the more distraction they're willing to put up with. When you start publicly criticizing teammates, it is so counter to everything you want on a football team. And
unless you're the Steelers.
So destructive. No, exactly.
They just gave the green light to Ben Roethlisberger to do it.
Right. Yeah. The GM just told the Roethlisberger that he's allowed to do that. But you know what? That's a perfect example. How have the Steelers with all that talent not competed for more Super Bowls than they have, partly just because of the culture? Like, Tomlin hasn't controlled it. So Odell Beckham Jr. acting like that, the one thing I think you can be sure of is that if he goes to New England, he's not going to be publicly criticizing his teammates.
I totally agree.
Like, Belichick just has it on lockdown.
They don't roll with that.
Where Pat Shurmur obviously doesn't have that control over Odell Beckham Jr.
Time now for Mad Takes. At the top of the hour, we're going to take a look at Jadeveon Clowney and where he differs from another sort of polarizing pass rusher here in Houston, Mario Williams. Steve Spurrier has given new details as to what is actually going on with the Alliance of American Football, the AAF. And if you have not been keeping up with the story, I'll try to explain it simply. They had some cash issues and people couldn't really figure out exactly, was it an administrative glitch why they nearly missed payroll? Was it something deeper than that? Steve Spurrier does a weekly radio hit in Orlando, and he said that an investor, the guy who owns the Carolina Hurricanes, his name is Tom Dundon, he invested $250 million into the league, and it actually was because they had money issues. Apparently, an initial investor of the AAF backed out and put the league's working capital in jeopardy. So they identified this Tom Dundon guy who owns the Carolina Hurricanes, and he invested $250 million in the AAF because he thinks it's a good investment. So there was actually a money reason why they needed to solicit more investors.
So it was a money thing.
Yikes.
But does the payroll glitch... Wait, the payroll glitch was directly related to that, though, too, or no?
I don't even know if there was a... Darren Revelle wrote there was a payroll glitch. I can't find anywhere else where there was a payroll glitch.
I don't think that... If they were going to run into trouble, it wasn't going to be in week one or two with payroll. It was going to be as it kind of fizzled out. It is concerning that Steve Spurrier did say that they wouldn't have had enough money to cover year one expenses. I don't understand how you don't have all of that on lockdown before you start. This feels too much like the old USFL, where a lot of these owners in the old USFL may have been a little creative on their balance sheets, even a little liberal with their estimations of how much they were worth, and teams actually had a hard time making payroll. This is all owned by one single entity. There aren't individual team owners, but that should make it even simpler. Like, how did you not have enough money for year one?
Here's why I will cut them a little bit of slack. I think when you announce the league as short to the beginning of the league as the AAF did, I mean, these things I feel like are naturally going to happen. I'm honestly surprised that the league got started as quickly as it did, because the XFL made an announcement about how it was going to start next year, and then the AAF announced itself like the next week or a couple of weeks later. The timing was weird. So that's why I will cut them a little bit of slack. I still think that they are figuring things out on the fly. And I'll give them credit that they actually were able to find someone to invest $250 million into the league.
So now they're in theoretically pretty decent shape. Maybe it's an issue of just vetting the investor properly and not actually underlying financial issues. Because if I'm investing in anything, the AAF, a computer company, a food store, a restaurant, like whatever, I'm not gonna bail out when it just starts unless I have money problems to begin with, right?
Yeah.
I would think.
I'm intrigued by this billionaire that jumped in with $250 million based on week one ratings. He actually cited, hey, look at the ratings, and people were pleased with the quality.
I'm gonna be big.
$250 million. Why buy an NFL team for billions when you can own an entire damn league for $250 million, at least 51% of a whole damn league?
Well, that's what that guy's thinking.
I'm reading that Gary Myers book about the Cowboys, How About Them Boys, and this is the greatest illustration I've seen of how owning an NFL team is a pretty good investment, but it's more about the prestige than anything else because it's not an incredible investment. Jerry Jones, when he bought the Cowboys, sold off his share of like cell phone tower rights in Texas when he to create the cash to buy the Cowboys. Like, he didn't have any outside investors or anything. So he sold all of those for about $150 million. 3 years later, that $150 million would have been worth $700 million. So that was before everything else really, really took off. So it was just an incredible amount of money. People just want to own a piece of the football action. That billionaire could spend $250 million on something that's more of a slam dunk. He wants to own a whole damn league. Impressive by you.
So I don't know how many people like Stephen A. Smith, but I will admit the man amuses me, even though he is often very wrong with his takes, especially when it comes to the NFL, where he's misremembering who plays for what team and when.
College football,
thinking Dwayne Haskins is a mobile quarterback. But he is concerned that Yankees starting pitcher CC Sabathia has lost a little bit of weight before they start spring training.
You keep CC Sabathia on the crunch berries, not off of it, on it. Keep him on the crunch berries. CC Sabathia is like the male version of Oprah. They're better when they're thick. I don't want the weight gone. Keep it on.
Stephen A. Smith, noted ass man. Now, what is also noteworthy on this front, and perhaps even though Stephen A. Smith is so damn amusing, CC Sabathia had to have a stent put in a clogged artery that was 90% clogged this offseason. It was discovered during a stress test. Later that day, he was supposed to fly to London to promote a Yankees and Red Sox game there next year. And had he gotten on the plane, he probably would have died. At least that's what he has said in interviews since then.
Yeah, but Stephen A. wants him to eat more crunch berries.
He wants him fatter.
What a selfish bastard, Stephen
possibly,
A. What the hell?
Possibly controversial take here. Even if he would have died, the facts are CC Sabathia, better pitcher when fat.
Yeah.
He's just a better pitcher when he's fat. He lost the weight a couple of years ago and he was terrible.
I always wonder though too. Okay, but how did he lose the weight? What was his training regimen when he lost the weight? You know me. I don't like it when guys start messing with their body weight. But because this is what happened with LeBron James. Remember a few years ago when he came back and he looked gaunt?
Yes.
Because he'd gone on a super low carb diet.
It was bad.
And he was not himself.
A low carb diet.
He looked gaunt. He looked almost pale and withdrawn and everything.
He looked weird.
There's like hollow cheeks. And he wasn't himself for the first month. He gained about 20 pounds when he started adding a few carbs back into his system because you're running up and down the court 40 minutes a night. I don't know what CeCe Sabathia was doing. If he went, this happens all the time with athletes. They go on a low carb diet in the off season. And yeah, you lose a bunch of weight and it's awesome, but you gotta give your body time to adjust to it. And you gotta find the balance for like, you could still be low carb by athlete standards, but that means more than like one apple a day. So I wonder with CeCe Sabathia if he actually was just had a bad diet.
Well, we all have friends that look worse when they lose weight, right?
Well, yeah.
They just look worse when they lose. Not
Al Sharpton's one of my friends that looks the worst.
I disagree. I think Gaunt is good.
Are you going to tell me Al Sharpton looks better now than when he was fat?
Yes.
Come on. You're going to have to Google search this during
the
break.
You know who else looks better when he's larger?
Who?
Al Roker.
Yeah, well, Al Roker.
I like skinny Al Roker.
I liked him when he was large.
I know he's not laboring to get upstairs.
I don't know if that's a controversial view also.
Well,
or not.
I think sometimes when people
you're fat enabling.
When sometimes people if people get the lap band, sometimes I think you got to work extra hard to be sure you're getting the right amount of nutrition and everything. I think sometimes when they get the lap band, there must be not everybody. Some people look awesome when they get, like, I think Rex Ryan looked good, other than that you missed him being. Does Rex Ryan look?
Rex looks okay.
Looks good.
Yes. Rob, I'm not sure. I mean, Rob is like such a weird. He looks like he's just carrying like another human in his stomach.
My sister, like he's pregnant.
Yeah, he looks like he's pregnant.
With a fat kid, too.
Like with a really
with a
fat kid
who will eventually need a lap band.
Yeah. Exactly.
My stepsister got the lap band, and she doesn't have that Al Sharpton look to her, but she's very health conscious. Like she very much latched on to like exercise and eating healthy and everything. I think if you get the lap band and you're just kind of like, yeah, let the lap band do all the work. You end up looking malnourished.
Hmm.
Yeah.